Welcome to a supplemental game audio podcast. Anton and I have been enjoying the summer as we craft up episode 4 and get it ready for primetime release sometime in the near future. Got a little hung up on a few things, some technical difficulties during the recording of that. And otherwise, we've both been really busy with things around the campfire. Anton, what have you been up to?
Well, I can finally say now, surprise, surprise, I've been working on Killzone 3, which is due to come out in February 2011. So we're still very much in the trenches to ship that game, but it's looking and especially sounding very well. So first impressions have been really good. So that's always a nice motivator to finish up and get it nice and polished. We've just shown a bit of the multiplayer part of the game at the GameCon in Germany. It's shaping up quite well. We're also
that's super exciting stuff. Yeah. We're looking forward to hearing more about that as you're able to talk more about details.
Yeah, we are going to move as well as a company within Amsterdam, but we're scheduled to go to a new building. So it's also very exciting to get to a more modern facility.
Awesome. And are you doing any work on creating space for audio as far as building out studios and whatnot?
Yeah, we're very much working on that. It's still very much in flux, so I'm not sure about anything definitive what it's going to look like or anything, but that we're going to improve our facilities is very much for sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be great. How's the summer been over there in Amsterdam?
The air conditioning has been working, so yeah, it's all good. How about yourself? What have you been up to lately?
Well, I spent the last 4 months on the ground in San Francisco helping out LucasArts on their next Force Unleashed title, the Force Unleashed 2. They called me back in for implementation support. And so I ended up back on the ground working with a creative team of audio people, delivering on all of the big moments and experiences that you can expect for The Force Unleashed 2.
All right.
It's been fantastic. Looking forward to heading home soon and wrapping up the project. So
you've been doing that from San Francisco, I guess?
Yeah, it's been usually I will work remotely, and for a period of time I did, and it got to a point where there was an opportunity for me to come on site and push a little harder on everything to get it shaped up, and that turned into the last few months working directly with the team on site.
All right. And when's that game coming out?
October 26th is the U.S. release, and then the 29th worldwide.
Oh, wow. So that's really really coming up real soon now. So we'll be able to talk about that with some in-game examples.
Yeah, hope so.
All right.
We've had a lot of fun with it. It's a super interesting IP. The Star Wars universe lends itself to a lot of creativity, and everyone who's working on the team is super specialized at what they do and does it to a really high degree of quality. It's just been a great experience working with people who are so dedicated to audio and dedicated to the game.
Cool.
Been fun.
That reminds me, of course, Star Wars, that I read on several blogs, but in particular Miguel's blog, Designing Sound, which is, I think, one of the coolest blogs on sound design around these days. he mentioned that there's actually a book coming out for about the sounds of Star Wars, and it comes with a sound module that you can play at 250 different sounds on. It's definitely a must buy for me. Unfortunately, I have to ship it from the US, so I won't be able to check it out for another month or so. But it's all about Ben Burtt's work. It's written by J.W. Rinsler. So the book is called The Sounds of Star Wars. Ben Burtt did the foreword for it. And basically, they took out all the iconic sounds and described how they were created and all the backgrounds about it. So, but basically, I find it interesting because the Star Wars movies, the original ones, were such a turning point for sound design, but also for special effects and a lot of other industries. But the impact of that movie and Skywalker during that time was so big that it must be really interesting to hear on how they were approaching sound design during that time.
Yeah, it's a fantastic looking book. Great entry point for anyone who's interested in the creation of sound. And, you know, Star Wars kicked it all off with some really interesting stuff. You can dig further back in the history of film to find other interesting uses of sound design, but really Star Wars with the iconic side of things has really become a household name as far as sound effects go, visual effects and whatnot.
It's the start of the modern era. That's what it comes down to. I mean, it's just it's a key point in history for us.
On the same note, Ben Burtt, David Collins, and Matt Wood did a panel down at Celebration just last week, talking about sound design for Star Wars and talking about these exact same things. I believe that the stream for it can be found on Celebration, StarWarsCelebration.com.
All right.
And
all right,
we'll try to get a link to that up on the site because it's a fascinating talk.
All this new stuff has just been keeping me from my work from time to time because there's so much cool information coming out from all these people blogging very serious stuff. Like, they should be, you know, getting paid well for all the work that they're doing. One of the things that I've been noticing is independent sound libraries. And I just read on your blog, Damien, a nice big overview of the different independent libraries that are sprung to life in the last couple months, really. And it seems to be growing very fast. And one of the really cool new things that's coming up is the collaborate crowdsource libraries that Tim Preble is doing on his and the Roar label for sample libraries. I'm actually just starting up in participating with that because it just looks like such a cool opportunity for people to come together and crowdsource. Such a nice concept.
Absolutely, and it's, like you mentioned, just in the last few months, like over the summer, there's just been an explosion of these independent sound libraries, coming from game industry veterans, hardcore field recording experts, the Hiss and Roar libraries that come from, a professional working in film, and all these things now being made available as kind of the foundation layer for other people's sound design work really puts a high level of quality and very unique content into everyone's hands to be able to do things with it creatively. And on that same note, there are all of these different tiers of downloadable sound packages that are being offered. It's a completely new model where, depending on how much content you'll need, you can actually scale how much you buy based on what your need is.
Well, something like a site like SoundDogs has been doing something like that for a while. But it's the level of customization that you have now if people start offering their own private libraries almost for sale. That wasn't there before, because before everybody went to SoundDogs and Sound Ideas, and now you can. It's like the indie indie sample library world right now. And I just this week I needed a mortar fire sound, and I didn't have the sound that I liked, and for some reason Michael Raphael from Rabbit Ear Audio happened to send me a message if I was interested in his stuff. And I've seen him around for a while on his field recording blog, and I had seen his library label as well, but hadn't thought of getting it. So he had perfect timing, and the same day I got the Rocket Sounds and Perfect Sounds for what I needed that very day.
I love the serendipity of that.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it's been great for any of our listeners who are out there in the Twitterverse, because over the summer, there was a very interesting community outpouring of support between a lot of these different professionals as they were gearing up for the release of these different libraries. And there continues to be a huge amount of support between people who are doing sound design and, you know, actively creating these libraries. And it's just been a pleasure to watch that kind of happen in the community over the summer.
Nice. So that's really a Twitter thing then?
Yeah. It's an interesting thing that's happening out there for anyone who's involved with Twitter. It can be less than interesting, but it's when you do get focused on a community of professionals or people who are interested in the same kinds of things, the tweeting that goes on usually centers around their areas of specialty, and there's really a lot of great exchanges that are happening between audio professionals on there that is not just like what you had for dinner or
right.
where you're getting coffee.
Right.
Plenty of that, and it's always fascinating. But at the same time, some of this professional dialogue that's going on is, you know, again, it's just another layer. It's behind the scenes of what is transpiring in the community.
Right. One of the things I noticed, because we were talking about this new wave of indie, as you might call it, I've also seen it in fields that are related to sound design. For example, in music, and in particular in synthesizers. This really interesting new thing for me, at least, is the postcard synth. For me, it comes from the way it sounds and looks comes from the crackle boxes that Stime used to make back in the probably 70s and 60s.
Absolutely.
And the crackle boxes have turned into the bug brand Weevils, and which you can still buy today, because I think Stime stopped selling crackle boxes for a while. And there's all these kinds of really small synthesizers that have a built-in speaker. And so it becomes like a little instrument, a little toy instrument. So it's kind of meeting with the circuit bending crowd and the modular synth crowd. And then, you know, these guys selling these little synths. Another recent example was, I forgot his name, but the project's called Sunoyo. It's a record by a guy who used to be in Nine Inch Nails, and now he's made his own music. And he, with his album, he's actually selling this custom designed synthesizer by Harvest Man, who is a famous modular synth designer. So it's interesting, and so you can buy the synth that comes with the record. I actually ordered it, so I got it coming in. It's a new addiction. I haven't received any of them yet, but already spent quite a lot of money for these various sound tools that I can't wait to lay my hands on and play around with.
Yeah, absolutely. The hardware revolution, whether it's circuit bending or these, you know, tools like you mentioned, based on the Cracklebox concept, even Korg jumping in with the
Monotron.
Monotron.
Yeah, I was looking at that just 10 minutes ago. I bought one of those as well, but I'm broke.
Well, I think that what's what's interesting about it is there's a very low level of accessibility for a lot of these things where you can pick it up, you can immediately get down to making some noise with it, and whether it's mass-produced or custom boutiqued, there's a price point and a sound for whatever you're trying to do out there. And I think it's just an interesting sound explosion out there happening on a small scale and large scale across the industry.
And you mentioning price point, and for me, the $50-$60 price point, that is right at the edge where you're where it doesn't take much to do an impulsive buy. You know, like right. $50 or $60, I don't have to spend a lot of time justifying to myself. So I tend to buy a lot of things that are in that price. So that I'm definitely going to order the Monotron. I'll probably do it right after we finish recording this show, and I'll just put it on my credit card, pretending I'm slowly becoming an American.
Well done.
Yes.
Maybe you can eat out one less time this month, and it'll be justified.
Exactly. I'll have to eat my dog's food.
Not the worst. He probably eats really good food.
Oh, he gets really nice fresh meat. So I can't complain about eating that. It's only the bone that's in there that's a bit icky. All right. So we had some other stuff we wanted to talk about, I think.
We got some great email support over the last few months.
Yes, we did.
That's been great. We really appreciate your emails urging us on in our quest to bring game audio information to everyone out there who's listening. It does give us strength to move on, and with that, we will be working on crafting episode 4 and lining up the next episodes after that.
Yeah, if people got suggestions or material that they would like us to play and discuss, then by all means, contact us at inbox@gameaudiopodcast.com.
So that's it.
Yeah.
We're still here. We're moving forward. And we just wanted to give a quick shout out and let you guys know that that we still are committed to bringing game audio information to you, and we hope that you stick around for what happens next.
See us.
See you next time.
Cool.
Little.